Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Preparing for this service, when I was praying and a few days ago, I felt the Lord drop something just really strongly in my heart. He told me to speak on curse breakers. And he told me because C3 is anointed to break curses. That's what they do as a church. So I've had kind of, this is a three-part message tonight. We'll be going into part three of it. And let me read to you a scripture and then we'll launch forward and see what God has for us. From 2 Kings chapter 18, this is the story of the great reformer of Israel. And what he did, Hezekiah in Israel. It came to pass, verse 1 of chapter 18 of 2 Kings, in the third year of Hosea, the son of Elah, the king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, the king of Judah, began his reign. So the kingdom was divided. Hezekiah is ruling in Judah, the southern kingdom. He was 25 years old when he began to be king, and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, and the daughter of Zechariah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father David had done. Now here's what he did, some specifics. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars. So we can say in those cases that those would be false religious altars, places where Baal or Asheroth or Dagon or Beelzebub or whoever was worshipped. So he's tearing down what was odiously, what was obviously, what was apparently. Everyone knew they were wrong. And as soon as you were right with God, you knew you had to deal with that. And so I'm with him right there because he's doing good. But then he goes into the church itself. He goes into the temple. And he does this next sentence. And he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. So this bronze serpent would be different because this was not a false god. This was not something brought through a pagan belief system. This was something that came through their own relationships with God in a previous generation. Remember what Moses made the bronze serpent when they were bitten because of rebellion and murmuring. And whoever looked on the serpent was healed. And Christ himself identified by saying to us, if I be lifted up, identifying to that very moment, all men will be drawn unto me. And so it's a portrait of Christ becoming a curse for us, a portrait of Christ conquering our sin and sickness and giving us new life. But anyway, so he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for until those days the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. So turn to your neighbor and say Nehushtan. Some religion turns very good things into very bad things. Something that was wonderful in one generation became problematic and idolatrous in the next generation. That's what religion does. And I've been talking kind of in a three-part graduating message about breaking curses, but one of the assignments that God showed me that your pastors have, is to break down the power of religion to deceive people from the kingdom. And so they had been burning incense to a piece of metal. It had no power. It was used in a moment. It had revelation in its moment, but then had now moved past that moment. It was no longer healing people. It was no longer delivering a generation. And so what happens in religion tries to capture moments and turn them into monuments, and then they become so detrimental in the long term. And so there is something embedded into your pastor. Pastor Jurgen has a religious spirit destroying anointing, okay? That's just the truth. And I think it's a combination of his personality, his anointing, his own characteristics. Almost everything about C3 has a little edge that gives religion a punch in the face because of its great damage to mankind. And so this spirit, so we think of idols and strongholds and curses of being everywhere, but sometimes the majority of them are in the church. And they're when we do things. And so when someone comes, I want to say hi to Miss Louise from our church in Phoenix and her mother, God bless you, here visiting. But we, when it comes to things in the church, we often are slow to recognize what has transformed from a real revelation of God to a real powerless tradition of men. And so in that journey, we have to get better. And so the church moves, so the culture moves to the speed of light. We don't even move at the speed of sound, okay? We the church moves very slow. And so for change, for adapting methods, and for everything, it's so hard because people get false ideas about what the kingdom is. And that's why Christ, when he healed the sick, for example, constantly changed his methodology so no one would worship the method. Can you imagine if Christ, Pastor Jurgen, if every time Christ prayed for the sick, he hawked a loogie? He did that one time to a blind man. He said, come closer. And then he rubbed it mud. He did it with mud and then put it in the guy's hand. Now, if that's the only way he ever healed, we'd be having a loogie service tonight. And we'd all be up here. Get ready, guys. I'm ready. It's going to be a good one. I feel it coming. And because we would worship the method instead of the one who's doing the real healing. And so Christ continually changed methods, messing even with the minds of his disciples to keep them sharp, because the method was never essential to the outcome. It was only the transportation system to get there. And we have to, so religion does, it helps us as kingdom people to know that even we in our charismatic experiences can get a little religious. And we know we're religious when someone who is freer than we are starts bugging us in the worship service. We don't need all that spinning around. What are they doing over there? What are they jumping, you know, whatever's bothering, you know. But and it's because something inside of us has brought a tradition. We built a nehusht, and we built an altar. We built an idol. And so there's a specific anointing on C3 to drive religious people crazy, but to set people free from the spirit of religion. Now, listen. I'm not. I was tremendously respectful when we were with the Pope. Of course, I honored his office. He has a church of a billion. I have a church of a few thousand. I felt sorry for him the whole time I was with him. So I don't believe in just being offensive. But we have to remind ourselves there's no power in traditions of men, in lifeless religion. There's no power there. And they can wave around. And so the Methodist Church, started by the Wesley brothers, that changed the face of the earth today, has become a dry desert because they keep worshiping their Nehushtan. And they wonder why there's no young people. And the Lutheran Church is emptied out. And all the mainline churches just emptying out, because there's no life there. And all the millennials are like, why would we go there? There's no experience there. Just like you said, there's no benefit to us except that, our parents would. And so this generation's rethinking religion, and that's not a bad thing, because as long as religion is just a snake on a pole, a statue, a monotone sermon, a powerless moment, why waste your time in that? You could, just like you said, watch that on TV or get it on the internet. But having an encounter with God at C3, There was a guy in the Bible named Elisha, and he had a double portion. And he got a double portion because he stayed with it long enough to qualify for the transition of a generation, a generational transition, a transfer of anointing. And it began when Elijah said to him in 2 Kings 2, they're at Gilgal, and Elijah said, you can stay here, I'm going on. And so Gilgal means rolling away, and in scriptures, to me, it's a portrait of salvation where Christ rolls away our sin. How many are grateful for your salvation through Jesus Christ, which is the cornerstone of everything we do? But they're out Gilgal, and he says there's further places to go in life than Gilgal. And so there's more to our Christianity than salvation. But praise God for every church in San Diego that preaches salvation. We're all in the same church. There's one church in this region is every born-again believer. We have one God, we have one Savior, and we're all one family. But so they're at Gilgal, and the old man says to the young man, Elijah says to Elisha, I'm going to Bethel. You can stay here. But Elijah says, no, if you go, I'm going. Bethel means house of God, is a portrait of the church. So how many of you are glad that you've discovered the power, the awesome transformational witness and a benefit of belonging to an on-fire Bible teaching, spirit-filled church? Praise God for the church. But here's something about the church. So that's what we do. We build churches. We believe, C3 believes, I believe, that the local church is the hope of the world, that we are the carriers of the kingdom of God, that we are, Jesus said, I will build my church. He's never changed his mind. God doesn't have a plan B. The local church is God's answer to what's ailing this world. And they're there, but part of the problem is this. There are many great churches in cities that are going straight to hell. Because the church is not the end, it's the means. So the means is to transform our culture and change our city and make it look like Jesus in heaven. That's what your pastor, yes, he's going to build 16 campuses, my goodness, or hundreds more, but your pastor is an apostle over San Diego, and he's pastoring the whole region. Not you are just the ones that show up to help him do it. So God trusts people with regional authority over their jurisdiction. So what happens when we make the church the end instead of the means, we then become satisfied with the wrong goal. The goal is to change the city. The method is the church. But when the church thinks that the goal is to get everybody to church and let the city burn down, then we've missed our purpose as the local church. That's not our purpose. So we can measure. We moved into our first building. Our church is 15 years old. And we moved into our first building in Sunny Slope, Phoenix, Arizona. In the first 12 months, we were broken into 10 times. And the second or third Sunday night, we were driving up for church, and there was a couple of pretty ladies in the corner. And I said, oh, honey, I wonder if they're walking the church. My wife started laughing at me. She said, they're working the corner. They're prostitutes. And we had the second highest crime rate in all of Arizona, right there in Sunny Slope. It was the meth capital of our state. All kinds of things happening. And so we're there 7 years, and then we had a meeting with the police chief, the mayor, and other people. And they said, here's some stats for you, Pastor. Our crime rate has gone down 93% since you've been here. Murder's gone down 92%. Armed robbery's gone down 89%. He just started, a secular man just started ticking off to us. He said, we believe your church has had a great impact. We want to honor you today. They honored us in the church because we moved where the worst part of crime was. And we saw Jesus Christ bring the crime rate down in our city supernaturally, miraculously. That really happened. So thank you, God, for the church. But something's wrong when people think that the church is enough. The old man said to the young man, hey, man, you can stay here at Bethel, but I'm going to Jericho. And, of course, Elijah, the younger, said, no, I'm going wherever you go. And Jericho means sweet place or fragrant place. And to me, it's a portrait of the gifts and graces of the Holy Spirit. Wow. And so I'm so grateful that C3 is not just a family church, not just a Bible church, not just a community church, but you are a Holy Ghost church that welcomes, just like Pastor said, the office, the function, the gifts, the moving of the Holy Spirit, because San Diego was waiting for a church like this to happen, because you can't change a culture without the full embodiment of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and flowing through your ministry. So there they are at Jericho. And sometimes, especially in our charismatic world, we can become intoxicated with the evidences and the beauty of the Holy Spirit. But the things God does for us in here are training for what he wants to do through us out there. So I'm going to process over a bunch of people. Pastor allows me, and the time's going way too fast. But so God's going to do some really cool things. But beyond that, the coolest part of prophecy, in the last 2 months, I've seen three people. So I greet visitors every Sunday. And sometimes there's a lot of them, but I greet them after church and shaking hands. I always ask them, I could pray for them. But then 2 seconds into the prayer, I prophesy over them. So they've maybe never been to church. They don't know what I'm doing. You know. So I've had three people physically drop to their knees and accept Christ in our church lobby because of a prophecy just the last couple weeks. That is what prophecy's for. Okay? That is highest use of that gift. So, but if we're not careful, we can have the best services in all of America and not care what's happening two blocks away at the drug house or at the whatever. And so we miss the mind of God. And so he said at Jericho, the old man to the young man, he said, I'm going from here to Jordan. And now you see what God's done in C3. Because Jordan means to cross over. And to me, it's a portrait of kingdom living, living in the kingdom of God. So evangelical Christianity, that is spirit, not spirit-filled, believes that the kingdom of God is this coming, the millennial reign in eternity with God. And we believe in that too. But we believe, as charismatic Bible believers, that the kingdom of God is to come now, right here in our lives. Jesus said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as heaven. Now. So that means then we have accountability, responsibility. And so what C3 is doing is modeling a church that's saved and spirit-filled and a church with a great church structure, a great wineskin, spirit-filled. But now you're modeling kingdom living that's transforming the culture. And so what happened to Elijah is this. As they're walking and talking, the old man asked the young man what he wanted. And the young man said, I want twice as much as what you have. I want a double portion. And there's something in the heart of the C3 movement, in your pastor's hearts. There's something that says, we want more of God. We want more of his spirit. We want more results, more souls, more miracles, more breakthroughs, more deliverances, more healings. We want more, more, more. That's the Elijah spirit. And as they're talking, God captures Elijah in a whirlwind of angelic visitation, takes him to heaven. And as he goes up, his mantle comes down because God doesn't take anointings. Anointings don't leave when people die. Anointings never leave the earth. Why? God doesn't need it. There's nobody sick in heaven. Nobody diseased, nobody bound, nobody lost. They stay here. And they stay here until someone like Pastor Jurgen and Leanne picks them up and says, we're going to do something great for God. And Elijah's first miracle was a replication of Elijah's last miracle, which is a portrait of a generational transfer when God says, I'm going to let you begin where someone else ended. Your flooring is going to be their ceiling. I don't want you to model your ministry after what they've done, because what I'm about to do, no one's ever done. You're gonna do things that have never been done, go places that you're gonna model a new form. And so after that, though, what happened, the first then miracle outside of that event was Elijah was visited by the men of Jericho, and they said, can you please help us? And he said, yeah, well, what's up? And he said, well, our city's beautiful. It's pleasant. Everything's perfect, except the water is polluted. And it's causing our crops to die and women to have miscarriage. So everything that should give birth is dying. So the city, it doesn't matter how good San Diego looks to a secular person, God views it in its redemptive purpose. And when it's not healthy, it's because there's pollution in the waters. The souls of people are sick. Spiritual strongholds and curses haven't been broken. And so here is now Elijah, Pastor Juergen, the curse breaker. Here he is. And so he says this, I know how to fix this. And he said, get me a new bowl. He says, I'm going to build a church that's unusual. I'm going to show America a new model, a new apostolic wineskin. I'm going to do something in San Diego's never seen before. I'm not going to bow before Nehushtan and other religious idols. I'm not going to repeat the failure of religious traditions of men. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost do something brand new in my life and in this church, a new bowl. And so he fills the bowl with salt. And the Bible says, he said, we're going on the hike. And he gathered the men together. And he said, let's go find the real. See, your whole life, the Holy Spirit will target the source of your issues, not just the symptom you're showing. See, you don't need anger therapy. You need to be delivered from a trauma or hurt that's become an anger manifestation. So anger is always the symptom of an unresolved pain in your life. So they went upstream. They went on a hike. Reminds me, Pastor, a few years ago, I was reading Reader's Digest, which is, for you millennials, an ancient magazine. I'll Google it. So I was reading it in the doctor's office. I read this thing about a Swiss village, and everyone in the village got sick. And so they recognized that the only common denominator was the spring waters that they cooked their meals and drank their water from. So a bunch of men got their provisions together. They hiked up into the Alps, and they found a few miles up from their village, a pig had died in the middle of the stream. And now its rotting flesh, filled with bacteria and disease, was passing invisible sickness down through the clear waters. And as soon as they removed their pig, they healed their waters. And the Holy Spirit helps us find our pig. Come on, come on. Come on. The Holy Spirit goes to the core of stuff. And so Elijah poured the salt into the waters and said, the Lord heals his water. Now here's the significant point. Jericho was cursed by a man of God. See, When the walls fell down in Jericho, Joshua said, cursed be the person that rebuilds this wall. And he pronounced a curse over the city eternally. And so, but the curses of one generation can be removed by the blessing of another generation, by the faith. And so you don't, listen, I don't care what's wrong in your family. I don't care how goofy things were. I don't care. I don't care how perverse practices have been. How addicted or angry or immoral, whatever it is, through Jesus Christ, we can break curses in our family. We can break curses in our marriage, in our life, our behavior. We can break curses in cities. And there's a depth of focus in this ministry, every time I'm around, I feel it, that goes after things, especially in leaders. That says, listen, if you're going to be a leader, God spent years preparing your pastor for this assignment, dealing with things that maybe the average leader didn't have to deal with, but God was protecting him from his own successes in the future. God was safeguarding him for the amount of success he would give him by removing things that could potentially be an entrapping, a snare. And so I praise God for every good thing God did in the tough seasons of Pastor Juergen and Leanne's life, because now it's payoff time for letting God do a deep, thorough work in their lives. The whole purpose is this. God gave him a double portion anointing. The first thing he did was heal a city. Thank you, God, that you've sent C3 to heal San Diego. Salt Lake City. Wherever else God sends you, this is a curse-breaking ministry. And it doesn't matter what ancient curses have been levied against this city. It doesn't matter what kind of Nehushtan religious traditions have been embedded into the culture itself, especially in California. God has assigned your church as a curse-breaking, anointed powerhouse for heaven to accomplish God's will on earth. Come on, turn to someone and say, I'm a curse breaker. Tell them that. Thank you, God. I've raised you up, the Lord says. Pastor Juergen Lee, and I've raised you up. I found you when no one was looking for you. I hid you, and it felt like an eternity to you, but I hid you from those that would manipulate or use you or prematurely elevate you to destiny. I hid you in a cave, and you wondered why so long and so deep and so thorough. You wondered why your fathers became taskmasters, and there was hardship and difficulty, and there was even dishonor. But the Lord said, I was teaching you, son, how to trust me no matter what men do. I was teaching you, my daughter, how to believe me no matter what happens in your story. And now the Lord says, look what I've done. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing through you, a Gideon, a fighter, a idol smasher, a apostolic leader. God says, it's not just what you're doing, but I've taken the spirit that's on you, and I'm going to put it on over 100 men and women, and they're going to cover the earth, and they're going to do things all over the world, and they're going to say, where'd you come from? When he said, we came from that man who spreads the fire of his spirit to us in San Diego. And they'll carry the same kind of torch, the same kind of authority. And these ancient powers, I've shaken this city through you. And though it tried to chase you out in the first 7 years, now you're chasing it out in these last 7 years. I've turned the tide. I've reversed the curse. I've broken the spell. I've stopped the activity. And God says, now get ready, because I'm accelerating your seasons. I'm accelerating your outcomes. I'm accelerating your expectations. And God says, before the seed even hits the ground, the crop will grow. Before the normal cycles are completed, a new cycle will begin, and you're going to see things happen. And because you've raised up enough leaders, you'll be ready for this season. You'll capture it. You'll fulfill its potential, because I've chosen you. And God says, I'm pleased with you. Thank you, my son. Thank you, my daughter, for your sacrifice, for your joy. Thank you for your radical devotion to each other, to my people, and to my kingdom. Now watch what I do, because now the sound is changing in the C3 movement. And the echo of what God does here is resonating not just to San Diego, but to the world. I'm changing, I'm amplifying what's happened here around the world. And they're going to come from Europe and say, we want to do what you're doing. Show us how to do this. And you're going to have sons and daughters in Europe and Asia. And in the Americas, you're going to have them all over the place that attach to you and catch the spirit and adopt the culture that you've built. Because I've made you contagious. And it's not just that you're building something for this region, but you're building something for an entire generation. You're building something for the nations of the earth. And I'm accelerating the timelines that others may have think you're on, but God says, get ready. For in one day there'll be a transition. The one day there'll be a transfer of wealth. One day there'll be an open door that no man can shut. And those things have already been set in motion. You're standing at the forefront of a new season, the best season, harvest season, and a breakthrough season. And all those that hear the sound of my spirit in your voice are running to you. And God says, I've dismantled ancient powers, and I've removed cold, hard, deadly traditions. And I'm awakening a hunger in a generation that says, we want more than this. We want Jesus. We want all that God has for us. Yes, that's what I'm doing through you. That's what C3 means here. And God says, the best is yet to come. God bless these awesome pastors in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, someone give God praise tonight. God, we celebrate you. We honor you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Can hardly wait to, you know, seeing things. Just so excited for what God's done. Listen, please don't ever take for granted what God's doing. This is not normal. So I'm a little bit of a revival historian. This is not normal, especially in this region. You've broken the mold. You've broken the pattern. You've torn down New Houston. You've overcome strongholds. And now watch what God's been waiting for, a church like this to emerge in the earth and can hardly wait for what God's to do. Pastor, would it be okay if I prayed for your pastor friends here? Yeah. How would you just transfer this lovely couple from the Gold Coast? Don't you wish you came from the Gold Coast? I come from the dirt, the desert. Lord, thank you for this beautiful family. We bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you for your hand upon them. Thank you, God, for your calling, your purpose, your direction. And all that you've done, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God's given you, my brother, such a great spirit, a resilient spirit. You survived so many failed leaders before you, failed promises, broken covenants to the degree of kind of breaking hearts. But you're not bitter. You've forgiven. You've walked in love. You've taken the high road. And there's a sweetness about you, about both of you. You carry the fragrance of Jesus. And the Lord's just so proud of you, proud of what you've done. I know you've done great things in the church, but he's just proud of the people you are. He's proud of the character that you have. He's proud of the Christ-likeness you display. He's proud of the honor that's in your family, the dignity you give the people. And I heard the Lord say, tell him I'm unlocking the treasure chest. And this is the season of supernatural wealth moving into your arenas. And you're going to see not just one building paid for, but three, just like that. One, two, three. And it's going to happen. One given, two paid for. And God says, I'm blessing what you're doing because there's health in the things you've built. You've built an environment, a greenhouse of my kingdom where my purposes flourish and my people become healthy. And God says, I'm going to multiply. And God says, you're going to look now beyond the seas into other regions. And great favor is going to come. In fact, they're going to come from Asia, 150 churches or so, and just say, please father us and pastor us and lead us and guide us. That's continuing. The things you've sown for like 22 years into those regions, now you're going to reap a harvest of great influence beyond what you've seen before. And there's really been, in your situation, there was supposed to be a transition. And somehow, the Elijah before you, there was difficulty. And so there was kind of a delay in the embarkment of what you would do. But God says, I'm making up for lost time. And the Lord says, because you didn't advance yourself, but you waited for me to advance you, I'm going to show that country, I'm going to show my people what I do to those that humble themselves before me, that I exalt them in due time. And God says, it is due time. A great singer, a great voice in your family is going to rise up and fill the earth with song and worship. There's all kinds of powerful things, new songs coming, like pages and pages and pages. And there's going to be a connection. I see almost like a youth, it's almost like a nightclub that's transitioned into a kingdom outpost. Some incredible outreach to young people is going to happen, and just one thing after another. The Lord, the attack on one of your family members or one side of the family. So I command any storm against family members to end in this moment. I rebuke the assault of the enemy trying to bring pain to you through the problems of another, and I declare God's peace and government comes to everyone in your lives. God honors you by healing those you love and by delivering them even from some of their own issues. And watch what God does, because the one that's far away is coming back and coming close. So God, thank you for that, your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for the mentorship, the apostolic grace. It's interesting. Sometimes the best fathers are men that weren't fathered. There's a great spirit you carry, and you yearn to give others what was not given to you. And God's just really proud of you that you've been so giving, you've been so free in the way you dispose your gifts and your opportunities, because you love being a spiritual father. You love empowering the next generation. That is so godlike and so pleasing to God. Get ready, because your family's increasing. Your family's growing as far as sons and daughters that are capable, powerful, anointed ambassadors for Christ. Something's happening in the movie industry. Is there a movie industry in Australia? There is somewhere. So, Lord, I thank you that it's going to be a divine connection between true important figures in movie making in Australia with this church. They're going to connect right into it. And because of that, they're going to end up, this church is going to end up being a sponsor and the originator of a new movie, something really cool. So God, you're going to do some outrageous things that aren't even going to cost this church anything. You're financing them. You're releasing them. You're empowering them. And God, thank you for it. I break off of your anyone in your family members, especially any older person, I bind and I break the power of incurable disease, and I speak miracles into the bloodlines you come from in the name of Jesus, and I command diseases to retreat and leave those that you love in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless this awesome family in Christ's name. Amen, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.